The sleeve of her green coat brushed his, and he smelled her perfume, something delicate and yet pervasive, something like the dense, pale petals of lilacs outside the window of the student rooms he'd once occupied in Pittsburgh. The squat windows of his basement apartment were always grimy, opaque with steel factory soot and ash. But in the spring, there were lilacs blooming, sprays of white and lavender pressing against the glass, their scent drifting in like light. He cleared his throat. He could hardly breathe, and held up the terrycloth robe. But the clerk behind the counter was laughing, telling a joke, and she did not notice him. When he cleared his throat again, she glanced at him, annoyed, then nodded at her customer, now holding three thin packages of stockings like giant playing cards in her hand.
"I'm afraid Miss Asher was here first," the clerk said, cool and haughty.
Their eyes met then, and he was startled to see they were the same dark green as her coat. She was taking him in. The solid tweed overcoat, his face clean-shaven and flushed with cold, his trim fingernails. She smiled, amused and faintly dismissive, gesturing to the robe on his arm.
"For your wife?" she asked.
She spoke with what he recognized as a genteel Kentucky accent, in this city of old money where such distinctions mattered. After just 6 months in town, he already knew this.
"It's all right, Jean," she went on, turning back to the clerk. "Go on and take him first. This poor man must feel lost and awkward in here with all the lace."
"It's for my sister," he told her, desperate to reverse the bad impression he was making. It had happened to him often here. He was too forward or direct and gave offense. The robe slipped to the floor, and he bent to pick it up, his face flushing as he rose. Her gloves were lying on the glass, her bare hands folded lightly next to them. His discomfort seemed to soften her, for when he met her eyes again, they were kind. He tried again.
"I'm sorry. I don't seem to know what I'm doing. And I'm in a hurry. I'm a doctor. I'm late to the hospital."
Her smile changed then, grew serious.
"I see," she said, turning back to the clerk. "Really, Jean, do take him first."
She agreed to see him again, writing her name and phone number in the perfect script she'd been taught in third grade, her teacher an ex-nun who had engraved the rules of penmanship in her small charges. "Each letter has a shape," she told them, "one shape in the world and no other, and it is your responsibility to make it perfect." 8 years old, pale and skinny, the woman in the green coat who would become his wife had clenched her small fingers around the pen and practiced cursive writing alone in her room hour after hour until she wrote with the exquisite fluidity of running water.